morning. Today's Daven Sotos Chaf Ches. We are starting the new perek this morning. We're beginning the new perek on Chavzayin and Midbeis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for the sponsorship of the Daf. As well as Zichron Nishmas Libra Gabriela Bashmuel. Let us start the new perek. As I mentioned yesterday, this is kind of a closure now to the chapter of Sota. Chapters, I should say. The first four prakim dealt with the intricacies of the halachas of a Sota. We are going to be discussing today, in the context of our Mishnah, some of the halachas of Sota. But truth be told is that from this point going forward in the Masechta, we're really going to take on some new topics and new discussions. The reason why we're moving ahead in terms of the topics and discussions is you'll see from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is going to start off with the halachas of Sota, but then embark on a number of other discussions. Why is the Mishnah doing that? So you'll see the thread of the Mishnah is Bobayom. On that day, there was a day in the... We're towards the end of the second base of Mikdash, where Rabbi Gamliel probably, was it right after the Chorban? Okay. It was right around that time period where Rabbi Gamliel was deposed as a Nasi. Rabbi Gamliel was a Nasi, and as a result of a number of instances, a number of events, so he was deposed as being the Nasi. If you want to see the details of this incident, so you go to Brachos, Chavav, Chavzayin. The Gemara over there gives the entire episode in great detail. Rabbi Gamliel was deposed, his treatment of Rabbi Yoshua, and then after and then they were looking for a replacement in terms of who's going to be the Nasi, who's going to be the next leader of the Jewish people. They turned to a number of candidates. Eventually, they landed on Rav Elazar ben Azariah. His shortcoming is that he was young. He was extraordinarily young. He was still in his late teens. So he was... nevertheless, though, in terms of all other qualities, he really did, he was a match. In terms of being the Nasi, he went back to his wife, he asked his wife what he should do. His wife said, don't do it. Don't assume the responsibility of being a Nasi. Against his wife's wishes, he then assumed the position of being a Nasi. And after a little bit of time, they felt bad that they deposed Rabbi Gamliel. They took Rabbi Gamliel, they reinstated Rabbi Gamliel as being the Nasi. And Rav Elazar ben Azariah was not demoted. But he got some sort of adjunct position as being the Nasi. The Gemara over there ended off by saying that, what was the ratio? It was 3-1. Anyway, I think 3-1. I should have looked up the Gemara first, not just kind of memory. But for every three Shabbosim that Rabbi Gamliel spoke, he gave the drasha. So then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah spoke one Shabbos. And that, the Gemara says at the end, that whole discussion brought about the expression Shabbos Shel Mi. Whose Shabbos does it belong to? Meaning because there was a point in time, historically, where there were basically two Nisim, there were two leaders of the Jewish people, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So... would you see the words Bo Bayom? So the Bo Bayom on that very day, what day are we talking about? So we're talking about the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was in fact instated as the Nasi. There were a number of philosophical differences that he had against Rabbi Gamliel. The Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, in terms of the doors of the Beis Medrash, he widened the doors of the Beis Medrash. I do not mean that literally. I mean in terms of allowing entrance to possible students. So his admissions policy was a much more generous admission policy than that of Rabbi Gamliel. Is that good? Is that bad? Not for me to say. The episode recounted in the Gemara in Brachos. And every time you see the word Bo Bayom that day, it means on that very day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was instated as a Nasi. With all that stated, let's start with the Mishnah. Kishem Shamayim Botkin Mosah Kachamayim Botkin Oso. Just like the water examines her inspector, so to the water is going to examine him. Now, in the case of a Sota, there obviously are two hymns, which is a problem. Shene Emar. So, at this point in time, the Mishnah, which hymn are we referring to? So, stay tuned. We're going to discuss that in the first discussion of the Gemara. So, but just let's just get comfortable with the language of the Mishnah. Just like the water examines her, so to the water is going to examine him. Shene Emar. The pasuk says, "Uva uva kishem she'asur laba kachasur labo." Another consequence of her being a Sota is that just like she becomes prohibited to her husband, she also becomes prohibited to the Boel as well. and she will be forever forbidden to the Baal Shenamar. Nitmeis, Divrei Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Kiva notes that it says the word Tamei, Tamei'ah, I should say, twice. She becomes defiled twice over. How can that be? She's one woman becoming defiled twice over. Answer is, two consequences. Two people are going to be affected by that Tumah. One is going to be her husband, and the other one's going to be the Baal as well. And as we pointed out a number of times already, but just to reiterate, that means that if this marriage went, not if, when this marriage terminates, so that means that she'll go on, she'll marry somebody else in life, but she won't be able to marry the Boa. She will be Asur La'olam to the Boa. Oh, right. In other words, what if there's another, you right, you're asking about
the husband just because of the Sphira, right? Because of the
Sphira, but right. Well, that's right, correct. And she will also be Asur to the Boa as well. Well, the problem is not, we don't know what happened in that room. In other words, so she's branded as a sota not because of not knowing what happened. Once, the only way of resolution is mesota, but until the mesota, she has a presumed state of being a mizana. Right, the Gemara's terminology, the beginning of the Masechta is Raglaim L'davar. We have a preponderance of evidence. Right now, the assumption going forward is that she's Asura. Asura Misafik, but still Asura. Okay. Kachaya Doresh, sorry. Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Kachaya Doresh Zechariah Ben Akatsab. Rabbi Omer Shnei Pamim Ha'amurim Beparsha Nitma V'Nitma Echlaba V'Echlabawa. So Rabbi Yehoshua seems to take issue with Rabbi Akiva, although it's really an issue in terms of how to darshan the psukim. He quotes in the name of Zechariah ben Akatsav that it says nitma vin nitma with a vav. So one is referring to the vav, one is referring to the boal. So there's no argument in terms of what the conclusion is. Just a question of how to get to that conclusion. Boba yom darsh Rabbi Akiva on that very day, Rabbi Akiva darshan. So again, that very day, talking about the appointment of Rav Elazar ben Azariah as being the nasi on that very day, Rabbi Akiva darshan. As well, kli cheres asher yipol mehem el tochol kol asher besochol yitma. So a basic halacha regarding tuma. And again, we know the basics of tuma. The sheretz itself, I mean, obviously there are many aspects of tuma to talk about. I'm just going to speak about it in the context of Rabbi Kiva's discussion here in our Mishnah. Sheretz itself is an avatuma, not all shratzim, only 8 shratzim that are identified in the Torah when they die, so they're an avatuma. A kli cheres is going to be a communicator of tuma, but only mitochel, only from the inside. So that means to say that if I take a sheretz, the dead sheretz, and I put it in the kli cheres, so the kli cheretz now becomes tummy, only mitoch, only from the inside. And so the kli cheretz now is a rishon l'tuma. Every time you have a transmission of tuma from one item to another item, so it's going to be a drop-off. So the sheretz is an avatuma. That means that the kli cheretz is a rishon l'tuma. That means that the food inside the sheretz, sorry, let me say that again and better, the food inside the kli is going to now be a sheni l'tuma. So far, so good. That we know, that the Torah communicates very clearly. Just give me one second. Here's what is not clearly communicated in the Torah. Does the tumah train stop at that point in time? Is there any more communication of tumah? So here's what the halacha is. The halacha is that when it comes to chulin, when it comes to just regular food, non-consecrated food, so yes, that's it. That's the end of the line. Nothing after a sheni. That food, which is a sheni l'tumah, comes into contact with any other chulin food. There's no transmission of tumah because there is no longer any degree of tumah as it relates to chulin. When it comes to truma, so the truma can go upwards to shlishi. So that means that if that sheni food in the earthenware container touches truma, the truma now becomes a shlishi and the truma becomes tame. The correct word to use to describe the truma would be pasul, but okay, that's just to sound more intelligent. But the truma is pasul. That's the halacha. Now, so yeah, good time to pause.
Just a quick question. In terms of the truma, If the sheretz touches the food directly, does the food become sheni or rishon?
Food's a rishon. Food now came into it. Yeah. So the bo vayom darsha Rabbi Akiva. So on that day, Rabbi Akiva darshan to kli cheres asher yipol mehem el tochol kol asher besochol yitma. So Rabbi Akiva now looks at the pasuk, and he's going to focus on the fact that when the Torah describes the food in the Kli Cheres, so again, sheretz in the Kli Cheres now is the Rishon. Food in the Kli Cheres, not touching the sheretz, the food now becomes the Sheni, because the Sheni came to come into contact with the, it doesn't even have to come into contact, by the way. When it comes to Kli Cheres, it's just simply the interior airspace. So the food in the Kli Cheres now is a Sheni. But when the Torah describes that food being tamei, the Torah doesn't say the food is tamei, but rather, Rabbi Akiva says the food is yitma. What does yitma mean? Yitma means not only does it become tamei, it also has the ability to transmit that tuma to something else. Ein omer tamei ela yitma l'tamei acherim. So Rabbi Akiva says it comes to teach us that the food is going to be metamei other foods. Limit al kikar sheni shemetamei sashlishi. According to Rabbi Akiva, that food touches another food. That other food is going to be a shlishi. Rabbi Akiva's opinion is it's not the halacha. Is that when you even with chul and even with non sacred food, not consecrated food, food can go upwards to a shlishi l'tuma, and he bases it on how he darshans the pasuk. Amr Rabbi Yoshua, migal afar meinecha Rabbi Yochem and Zakkai. So Rabbi Yoshua says, oh, Rabbi Yochem and Zakkai, if only you were here. Right, and listening to what Rabbi Akiva says, Shayisa Omer, because you, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, so you predicted the following, right? Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, it's after Churban by Sheni, right? If Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is dead already, so we must be just immediately after Churban by Sheni. Okay, I'm sorry, just I'm talking to myself right now. Anyway, The Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says, Rav Yeshua, you know what you predicted. I know what you predicted. As the dora achilatar kikar shlishi sheilam mikra min haTorah shu'tamei. And you predicted that in a future generation, you're going to have a later basin come along and say that they're going to darshan the psukim, and the way the psukim are going to eventually be darshan is that even truma is not going to become a shlishi. That's what Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai predicted. Which, by the way, in other words, what was that prediction based on? So presumably, it's based on the fact that the Beis Din has the power to reevaluate and reassess the drashos of Chazal, right? That we learned in the beginning of Masechta Megillah, that a Beis Din that is gadol, the later Beis Din has to be greater. The Chachma v'Minyan has to be greater both in intellect and in numbers. Well, numbers is hard to understand. But bechachman and intellect and a minyan, so they can darshan. They have the ability to darshan using yigimel midos, but they have the ability to darshan. So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai prognosticated that's what's going to be the drasha in the future by a later Beis Din. And meanwhile, so Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was predicting, he was prognosticating that there would be less tuma. Not even by truma would there be shlishi. And meanwhile, here you have Rabbi Kiva, a talmid of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And what was Rabbi Kiva's position? That not only is truma going to become a shlishi, but even chulin is going to become a shlishi. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I guess he's saying it respectfully, but you were wrong. You thought there wasn't going to be a shlishi at all by tuma tahara. Rabbi Kiva is going in the other direction, swinging in the other direction, even chulin is going to become a shlishi. Maybe la mikra minatoshu tamishenema kosher b'socho yitma. Okay, and exactly how to understand that dialogue, or you know what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was quote unquote worried about, that a Beis Din is going to darshan one way, Rabbi Kiva darshan another way. Okay, there's obviously depth behind the whole discussion over there. Baba Yom Darsh Rabbi Kiva. Another topic, and again, like I mentioned in the beginning of the shiur today, so the string that holds everything together is a Baba Yom, meaning these are all the topics that were covered on that day of the statement of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So we're just going to go from topic to topic, seemingly no connection between the topics, and meanwhile the connection is Baba Yom. But again, that's superficial, meaning there could be more depth in terms of what's connecting these topics.
Allowed in all the time. This wasn't a new entrance.
Right. This was, presumably.
Why is this Baba Yom like Rabbi Akiva? Like, he has not been saying this on any of this like before? Like,
maybe there was a certain acceptance of what he was saying. Okay, but I'm speculating. I don't know. Baba Yom Darash Rabbi Akiva Mado Samichos Ha'iras Pas Kedma Apayim Ba'ama. Okay, what are there are zoning rules when you have the Ari Miklat, the Ari Levium. And the Torah gives us at the end of Sefer Bamidbar all the basic requirements, the zoning requirements. Where the building ends and where the city ends. So one pasuk describes it being 2,000 amas. Mikra achad amar mikir ir v'chutz alef amma. And another pasuk says 1,000 amma. So it's a stira between pesukim in terms of how to measure from the point of the city, meaning construction of the city, to the limits of the city. And your two pesukim are, one pasuk says 2,000, another pasuk says 1,000. That's called a stira. So ef shalomar elef amma shekvar nemar alpaim amma. Ef shalomar alpaim amma shekvar nemar elef amma. And the Mishnah notes, obviously, that's inconsistent. Can't be. Haketzad elef amma migrash v'alpaim amma tchum Shabbos. So Rabbi Kiva darshins that 1,000 is a reference to migrash. In other words, you need parks and recreation. Right? So it's not a new phenomenon in city planning. Right? Every city needs parks and recreation. Okay, that's goes back to the Torah. So the way Rabbi Kiva understands the pasuk is that 1,000 amas, that's dedicated, that's right outside of the city. So that's dedicated to Migrash. There's got to be parks over there. And Alpaim Amma, Tchum Shabbos. Now what about the reference of Alpaim Amma? That's a reference to Tchum Shabbos, because this is Shitas Rabbi Kiva, which is that Tchum Shabbos is Doraisa. How does Rabbi Kiva know that Tchum Shabbos is Doraisa? Right here. Meaning the fact that the Torah describes the Ari Miklat, the Ari Levim, as being 2,000 amas, so, and that's not a reference to zoning, that's a reference to the concept of Tchum Shabbos. Now, we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. That's going to be a common thread throughout this Mishnah. We don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. We hold that Tchum Shabbos is not a din d'oraisa, it's a din d'rabbanan, right? The majority of Tanaim disagree with Rabbi Akiva, but again, that's how Rabbi Akiva resolves the psukim. Rav Elazar ben Noh, Shel, Rav Yossi, Aglili, Omer, Elef Amma Migrash, Alpaim Amma Sados Ukramim. So Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yosef Lili, says, no, I'm going to look at the Pasuk, and I'm going to darshan differently. So Elef Amma Migrash, so 1,000 Amas has to be Migrash, just simply open field, a nice area. And Alpaim Amma Sados Ukramim, and then, now I'm going to say another 2,000 Amas, although that point is not particularly clear. Meaning, is that 2,000 including the 1,000, or is that in addition to the 1,000? That's a machlokas. But for our purposes, another 2,000 amas for sadot v'kramim, fields, vineyards. Okay, so it's either going to be a total of 2,000 or 3,000. However that machlokas plays out. But again, it's both dimensions, both linear dimensions, are there to actually give us a zoning effect to the city, right? Parks and kramim and vineyards as well. Baba Yom Darsh Rabbi Akiva. Now we move on. Rabbi Akiva darshens as follows: As Yishe Moshe Bnei Yisrael Sashir Azos Lashem Yimul Lemar Shein Tamul Lomer Lemar Umat Tamul Lemar. The word Lemar in the beginning of the Shira Sayam seems to be extraneous. Malamisha Yisrael Onim Shira Acharav Shal Moshe Akol Davar V'Davar Kekarnes Ahalo. That there was the responsa, meaning Moshe would say a pasuk of Az Yashir and they would respond, and it'd be just like we do Halo. Right, you remember in the third parak of Sukkah, where the Gemara gives a formula in terms of how halal should be said, and the Gemara at the end of the third parak of Sukkah gives like a number of concepts, basic concepts that we learn out from our minhagim in terms of halal. So here, the Mishnah in Sota mentions that one of the minhagim of halal is based on Shir Sayam, where there was a response. Moshe said a pasuk, they responded. What exactly was the response? Stay tuned, we're going to discuss that later in the Gemara. Lekach nemar lemor. Okay, that's why it says lemor. Reb Nechemia omer kekarne shema v'lo kekarne sahala. Reb Nechemia says, no, it's like saying the shema, not like saying the hala. What's his point? So again, stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss that as well. Bami yam dosh Rav Yeshua ben Hurkanus. Another discussion that occurred on that day. Lo avar Iyov ez HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela me'ava. How did Iyov serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Really an interesting discussion, meaning that this is not a halachic discussion. This is a hashkafic discussion. This is a question of Jewish thought, Jewish philosophy. But meanwhile, in the Beis Medrash, discussed, and seemingly as important, I mean, it's pashas in the Mishnah, it's as important as the discussions of the halacha. So how did Iyov serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Rav Yoshua ben Horkana says, me'ahav, I did so out of love. Shenemar hein yikteleni lo ayachel, a hope for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'aydayin adav shakulo, ani mitzapeh o Eini mitzapeh. I do hope or I do not hope. Tam lomar ad igava lo asir tumasim imenu. Until I expire, so my completion will not will not diminish. Malamit Shemei Ava Asa. So when Eov served the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he said, "Look, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm always hoping for you, and regardless of what happens, and it's Me'ava, it's with love." Rabbi Yeshua, I'm Rabbi Yeshua Migala Afar Minecha Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Once again, Rabbi Yeshua makes a petition to Rabbi Yeshua to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Sheyisi Dorish Kol Yamecha Shelo Kol Yamecha Shelo Avad Eov Asamakam Elamira. Now Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai took another position, which again posthumously seems to be argued upon. His position is that when Eov served the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he did some Yira. Shenemar Ish Tam V'Yashar Yarei Elokim V'Samera. He served the Kadosh Baruch Hu from Yira, from a position of fear, not a position of love. V'Lo Yeshua Tami Tamidech Halimi Shemayava Asa. And once again, he's like nudging Rav Yochanan Zakkai. Again, posthumously, he's like nudging Rav Yochanan Zakkai. And meanwhile, here you have a student of your student who's saying that Eov served the Kadosh Baruch Hu not Meira, but rather Me'ava. Okay, period. Ad kan divrei HaMishnah, obviously that was a very long Mishnah. Like in the previous Perek, like all the Mishnahs were front-loaded in the beginning of the Perek, and then the Gemara's discussion. So, good. With that stated, we are now on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, where the last line, we're starting with the Gemara, and we go through the Mishnah Keseder, like always is done. Oso Leman. So, in the Mishnah, let's go back to the first point of the Mishnah. Look again at the first lines of the Mishnah. Kishem Shamayim Botkin Osa Kach Hamayim Botkin. Sorry, let me read that correctly. Kishem Shamayim Botkin Osa Kach Hamayim Botkin Osa. Just like the water is going to examine her, the water is going to examine him as well. I mentioned the confusion in that Mishnah is that in the life of a Sota, there are two hymns, which obviously presents a problem. We don't. Which hymn is it making reference to? Oso laman ilay malabaal baal mayavid. So the Gemara says, really, the water is going to punish the husband. He didn't do anything wrong, right? He's innocent. So v'chi teima di is be'avon bat kilei maya ki is be'avon b'didei mi bat kilei maya l'didah. So the Gemara says, now you'll maybe suggest that, well, if the husband is not innocent, so maybe the water not only is going to examine her, but the water is going to examine him as well. Maybe that's what's meant in the Mishnah. Gemara says, but we also know that's apparently not true, because once the husband is at fault, once he has avon, so then the water loses all of its efficacy. We've seen this before. The Gemara says it again. V'atanya will enter a braisa. V'nikia ish me'avon v'isha ti. Sorry, v'ha'isha ha'hi tisas avona. The man is going to be free and clear, and then the woman's going to have to suffer the consequences. Bizmancha ishmenu kamei avona ma'im botkin es ishto. Eina ishmenu kamei avona eina ma'im botkin es ishto. So we've seen this drasha already a number of times in the Masechta, and that is that when the man is not free of iniquity, so then the water is going to be effective. But once the man has avon, so then the water loses all of its effectiveness. So you can't say the pshat in the Mishnah is the water is going to examine her and him being a reference to the husband, because your two options are he's innocent, she's guilty. The water is going to be bode kurd, obviously do nothing to him, he's innocent. Or the other option is she's guilty, but he's guilty as well, meaning the husband's guilty as well. But if that's true, the water has no effectiveness. So what we're saying can't be part of the Mishnah. Just as an interesting note, we say that if the husband has avon, if he has sin, so the water loses his effectiveness. What kind of sin are we talking about? Meaning, the husband's mechal Shabbos. That's it. The water loses effectiveness. So if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says it's the top, second Rashi in the Amud, top line. Bizman sheish menukam me'avon, shaloba aleha mi she'ne'esra alav ha'isha ha'hi. Tisa avonah she'yibdeku amayim. So Rashi over here says it's a very limited avon. Meaning, from Rashi, it seems to be that in terms of the rest of his life, he, you know, obviously should be doing Torah and mitzvos, but if he violates other Isurim in the Torah, that's not going to affect the water. The only thing, sounds like from Rashi, the only thing that's going to affect the water is if he is engaged in the avon of being with his wife after he should not be with his wife. Meaning, since the beginning of the Masechta, 4 weeks ago, right? Once she's a Sota, presumed Sota, alleged Sota, we don't know what happened, but there's an Isser for the husband to be with his wife. We have two Talmid Chachamim escorting the two of them to the base of Mikdash. So Rashi says that the Avon that strips the water of its effectiveness is specifically him being with his wife. Just as a, not as a parenthetical note, but if you look at the Rambam seems to give a wider definition of what avon is as it relates to the husband. It's not, the Rambam seems to go wider than Rashi over here.
So to bring this out, if the wife had actually had yichud and done something, and the husband was also had his own avon.
Right.
So she's going to drink. She's gonna come out clean, and then they're gonna go on to have a child as a sign that everything.
Right, right. It's good. Okay, good, good. I good meaning, yeah, yeah. Okay. It can't be right, but I don't know how to disagree or dispute. Okay. Back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that echlabav echlabal. So I'm sorry. No. Not yet. That's the next point in the Mishnah. That the mayim is going to be bodek. Her, but not him. So, just the opposite. Her and him. So, when we say her and him, right, his and hers, so which him are we referring to? So, the Gemara says, we rule out the husband. The mime's not going to be bodek the husband. Okay. El Labal, so the Gemara says, okay, we're only left now without one other option. And that is, it's a reference to the Baal. Okay. So, Lisne Kediktani Seifa. Now, in terms of hashkafically, philosophically, like we understand, meaning the Baal was the one who also violated Aveira. Meaning he was involved in Iyuf. He was involved in adultery. So just from a philosophical standpoint, we understand. The water is going to examine her, and water is going to do the same to the Baal as well. The problem is the language of the Mishnah. If the Mishnah is referring to Oso him, and Oso being a reference to the Baal, why doesn't the Mishnah say it with clarity? That's the Gemara's issue. Listen to Diktani Seifa. And furthermore, when you go on to the next part of the Mishnah, which I did, absentmindedly, but when you go on to the next part of the Mishnah, Kishim Shasur Labakach Asur Labawel. It's not like the Mishnah had a problem using the word Bawel. In fact, in the very next section of the Mishnah uses the language of Bawel. So why doesn't the Mishnah over here, describing Osa and Oso, instead of using the word Oso, come on, make it easier for us. Use the word Bawel so that we know who we're talking about. La'olam la'bawel. So the Gemara says, okay, but obviously we're not going to change our position. When the Mishnah teaches us that the Maim is Bodek, her and him, the him is a reference to the Bawel. Has to be the Pshat. And why does the Mishnah choose the word Oso? I did the Tani Oso, Oso, Tani Oso. Seifa, I did Tani Baal, Tani Baal. So the Gemara says, yeah, but also you know that the Mishnah is meant to be taught from Rebbe to student, and with a sing song to it, with a pattern in which it can be committed to memory. So when you have the Mishnah starting off with the word Osa, the contrasting word is Osa. So we're going to say Osa, Osa. In the Mishnah, the next case in the Mishnah, we're talking about the Baal, we're going to say the Baal. So in other words, symmetry. Symmetry sometimes dictates the type of wording that's going to be elected by the Mishnah. Shenamar uvau uvau. Okay, and how do I know that the mayim is going to be bodek? So we learn it out from the words ubau ubau. Ibailuhu, bau uvau kamar, uvau uvau kamar. The Gemara over here has a very specific, particular question, and that is, what exactly is being darshan over here? Is it the repetitive nature of the word in the parsha of Sota, or is it the extra vav? What exactly is producing the manufacturing that extra drasha? Tashma kishim shasur laba kachasur laba shenamar nitma'a vinitma'a. So nitma'a vinitma'a. And again, it's the Gemara says tevadaiti baye. But the Gemara says, okay, but I'm just going to ask you the same question again. The way the Mishnah is presenting itself, is it the Vav over there just telling us, and there's another word? Or is the Vav telling us, no, the Vav actually that's written in the Torah, that's generating the extra drasha. Tibayin, nitma, nitma kamar, or nitma vinitma kamar. Again, same issue. Very specific question, meaning what is producing the drasha? The additional word or the additional letter of the vav? Tashma mizitani sefer. Rabbi Omer shnei pamim Omer beparsha vinitma vinitma echlabav echlabav. So the Gemara says, okay, but when you read on the Mishnah, you end up knowing the answer. Because Rebbe says in the Mishnah, it says twice in the Torah vinitma vinitma. So clearly Rebbe's learning it out from the repetitive language used in the Torah. Mechlad Rabbi Kiva vavikadarish. So from there you deduce that according to Rabbi Akiva, he's darshing the vav. It's the vav at the end. Uba u'amayim. Vinitma, Rabbi Akiva is darshing the vav. Hilkoch Rabbi Akiva, shisa kratzive. So the Gemara says, now it comes out that according to Rabbi Akiva, so how many drushes are contained in amongst these psukim? So it comes out to a total of six. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, how did we get to the number six? Shisa Krai Shlosha Uvau Ksuvim Sham. So it says Uvau three times. Right? Rashi quotes the Psukim, Ubawa Mai Mamarim Ha'ila Bemech, let's was Batan Lahodia Lanu de Betan Bahadi Yerech, Shalom Lahoti Lat Kedamir Bekam. I'm sorry. Rashi and the Gemara are going to be doing the same thing in terms of how to darshan the Pesukim, but it says Uba'u three times. Again, according to Rabbi Kiva, not only do you darshan the repetitive language of Ba'u, 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 but you also the Vav that comes in the front of it. So three times two, that's six. Six drashas according to Rabbi Kiva. And what's the six drashas coming to teach us? Back to the Gemara. The Gemara goes, Chalitzava dida, Chalitzava dide. So one is coming to teach us the tzava. Tzava meaning the commandment, meaning this is what we're supposed to do. Chad la'asiyah didei, chad, I'm sorry, chad la'asiyah didei, chad la'asiyah didei. So three and four are going to be for the actual asiyah, for this is what you need to do. And then chad la'asiyah didei, chad la'asiyah didei. And then five and six, the drashot are coming to tell us that we have to tell the participants, this is what is going to happen. And we have to be clear exactly, not just allowing it to happen, but informing them this is what's going to happen. And according to Rabbi, it's three psukim, one is for the tzava, one's for the asiya, one's for the idea. I'm sorry, period. Okay, so that is the machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi. Rabbi Kiva darshan the extra vav, and Rabbi does not darshan the extra vavs. Now the Gemara is assuming that according to Rabbi, the same fate is going to happen to the boel. He agrees with that point. However, according to Rabbi, he doesn't darshan the extra vav. So how does he generate that point? Where's the drasha for that point? So nafkalei midatanya. So the Gemara says, from Rabbi's standpoint, it's generated from a different drasha, and that is, let's buzz bottom lam pil yerech bitten over yerech shabawa talmer bitten over yerech shabawa. I know all the bitten over yerech shon develas. So we're talking about the boel. The Gemara says, how do you know we're talking about the boel? Maybe it's talking about the woman. Keshu amr v'tzav sab bitten over nafla yerecha re bitten over yerech shon develas amur. The Gemara says, well, that's already covered. Okay, another drasha in the Pesukim that teaches that not only is the woman going to be examined and she's going to die this horrific death, but the boel as well. That is how Rebbe gets to that point. V'idach. So the Gemara says, now, if you are Rebbe Akiva, you don't need that drasha because you already have all the ba'us, you have also the additional vavs, so the additional vav is coming to include the ba'al. So according to Rabbi Akiva, I don't need this drasha, so again, the ping pong that the Gemara usually plays, so according to Rabbi Akiva, what do we do with these psukim? According to Rabbi Akiva, these psukim are just simply to inform her, you know, it's not going to go exactly thigh, then stomach. It's first going to go stomach and then thigh. Meaning when you die this horrific death, you should know, first it'll be the stomach, then it'll be the thigh, because that's how the water descends. First goes to the stomach and then hits the thigh. V'idachim kein lechtov kra bitna v'yerecha my beten v'yerech shma mina l'boel. So, and again, those who argue with Rabbi Akiva, so they're going to say that the fact that the Torah could have said beten v'yerech, and it says bitna v'yerecha, allows for that extra drasha. V'ema kula l'hachudasa. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, maybe the entire pasuk is just dedicated to that point, that we're informing her that's going to be first stomach and then thigh. So the Gemara says, because the Torah could have just gotten away with saying beten v'yerech, it adds the extra letters to come and teach me. Not only is it going to affect her, but it's going to affect him as well, the boel as well. Comes out from all this that the correct way to understand the Mishnah, a little lengthy discussion in the Gemara, but it comes out that the correct way to understand the Mishnah is that when the Mishnah says that just like the water is going to examine her, it's going to examine him, the him is a reference to the boel. How do we arrive at that point? Machlokas Rabbi Kiva and the other Tanaim exactly how to darshan the Pesukim to arrive at that point. But the Gemara says we all conclude that everyone's in agreement that point is correct. Yes.
In order for her to drink the water from the skin and sira,
yes.
The water, so
right.
It's going to affect her. So
right.
How could he be affected by the same outcomes without being warned?
Well, the
he wasn't warned. Why would he die the same? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, this is not right. Okay, I mean, the simplest answer, I mean, and probably the correct answer is this is not Misa Bidei Adam. This is not, right, this is Misa Bidei Shamayim, so to say. Meaning, we're not dealing here with a court. In other words, if it's a court, so then of course you're right. Of course you need Hasra, you need Edim, et cetera, et cetera. Over here, I mean, we do have Asra and we do have Edom as it relates to her. As far as he's concerned, in his, you know, horrific death, which we just learned the Gemara is going to be shared by her. Him and her are going to share the same death. So that's it's coming from Akash Baruch Hu. It's okay. It operates a little bit above, you know, the meta the meta judicial process, if you will. I just made that word up. Okay, good. Well, let's move on. The Amar of Yeshua Kach Eidar Shdechaya. Okay. Rabbi Yoshua, okay, we are on Chav Ches Amad Aleph, we're towards the bottom now, we're at the two dots. This is how Zechariah dash in the Pesukim. Okay. Tan Rabban Shosh Pam Memor Barsha in Nitma'a, Nitma'a, Vinitma'a. Three times in the Torah it says the words Nitma, Lama, Echelabava, Echelabava, Echelachurma, Divri, Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says the three consequences of her becoming a Sota. Number one, she becomes Usher to her husband. Number two, she becomes Usher to her Boel. And number three is that she, if she's a Ashes Kohen, who was entitled to eat Truma, she loses her entitlement to eat Truma. Divri, Rabbi Kiva, this is all the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Amar Rabbi Yishmael Kavachomer. Rabbi Yishmael says it's generated, this is derived through a Kavachomer. Uma Grusha Shumatasu Truma Asur Lakuna, just like a Grusha, who is allowed to eat Truma, and she is not allowed to marry a Kohen. Zu, our Sota, She'asur B'Truma, she is prohibited to eat Truma. Ino din She'asur L'Kuna. So she for sure is prohibited to marry a Kohen. Ma Tamalomer V'hi Nitma. So what are we generating out? V'hi Lo Nitma. In Nitmeis Lama Shoseim, Lo Nitme Lama Mashka. So Rabbi Yishmael is bothered by, on one hand, the Torah says she's defiled, meaning she committed the act. On the other hand, the other Pasuk says she's not defiled, she didn't commit the act. Magalach HaKasav, the Torah is coming to tell you, Shasafek Asura. So we're coming to, the Torah is coming to tell us that we don't know. That's exactly the point. She was warned by her husband. She went to a room. She secluded herself with this man in this room. The Edom do not know anything more beyond that point in time. She may have had relations with this other man. She may not have had relations with the other man. Exactly. Correct. Meaning that's exactly the Chiddush of Sota. And from this point going forward, she will be Asura to her husband based on this Safek. Okay, before going on in the Gemara, just an important point, really a basic point. Take a look at the third Tosis on the Amud. Divra Maska Matamalahi Nidma, Kikirsis Rashi, Vikachsiyum, Alam Dechashalolam in Mashkin, Ella Ala Safik. The water that's given to her is based on this Safik, because we don't know what happened in that room. The Intamar, Vichi Itzer Krala Mesa Sfeka. Rashi over here, super fundamental question by Rashi, by Tosos, and that is as follows. Here's what happened. She's in a room with a man, not her husband. They may or may not have had relations. And the suspicion is raised by the fact that there was a warning. And she went against the warning. And now she's with this man, secluded in the room. So now, did she or didn't she? It's a suffix. What do we know generally by suffix? We're machmir. Huh? That's in the world of tumah. We're going to get to that point in just a moment. Right now, Rashi's just dealing with a very basic issue. I'm sorry, I keep saying Rashi, because he quoted Rashi in the beginning. Tosis over here is asking a very basic issue. Meaning, what do we have over here? We have a suffix. And what's it? And what are we learning now? She's a surah. Okay? So, Yesh Lamar, Akasav Osra, Konem Shesia, Ki Ilu Hi Vadai. So the chiddush of the Torah is that even though it's a safek, we treat her like a vadai. Not to the extent, of course, she's not going to get malchus. Malchus is only when we know for certain with witnesses that she committed an avera. And in this case, I mean, Tosfos is using the word malchus over here, talking about a capital crime, capital punishment. But meaning there's not going to be any corporal punishment whatsoever without witnesses and without due process. That goes without saying, but let's say it. There's not going to be any corporal punishment. But in terms of what the Torah is being mechadesh, the Torah is being mechadesh is that the iser is we treat her like a vadai, even though we don't know what happened in that room, and we don't treat it like a suffix. So just an important discussion in Tosos in terms of what exactly we're learning at over here.
Been warned, and that she's a witness, then she would have definitely been punished corporally. No?
Right, correct. But in other words, but we don't know what happened in the room. The whole idea behind Sota is that Raglaim Ladavar, there's certainly preponderance of evidence, but we don't have the actual evidence that she committed adultery. So she's a Suffolk. So she's a Surah. And Tosus is saying, and we would have known that anyway, right? Right? So Tosus says, no, the Chiddush is, we're going to go beyond that. We're going to treat her like she's Usur from this point going forward. Okay, back to the Gemara. In the middle of this brisa, so in nitma lama shosim lo nitma lama mashke magil lachakatzur shasafik asura mikana tadan l'sheretz. And here's the Gemara, meaning sota daf chavches, right? As we're about to turn the amud, right? Many times throughout Shas we're introduced to this concept of, you know, if I have tuma and I have a suffik by tuma, so what's the rules? We know what the rules are. How do we know those rules? Right here. The Gemara is right over here. Mikana tadan l'sheretz ma'asota shelo asa b'shoge kemeizev onis keratzon asa b'safik havadai. Now in the world of sota, so shogeg is not like meizev, and onis is not like ratzon, meaning the sota obviously only is going to be prohibited to her husband if she willingly participated in the adultery. But if it was a shogeg, if it was a onis, so there are exceptions, Eishes Kohen, but she's not going to be forbidden to her husband. And yet the Torah says that because she was in that room and we don't know what happened in that room, we treat her like a Vadai. So, Sherit, Shasab, Shogi, Kamezev, Ones, Karatzo. Now, in the world of Toma, there's no concept of Shogeg, right? Oops, the Sherits touched something. I didn't mean that to happen. Doesn't matter. Meaning, in the world of Toma, once there's contact, there's Toma. There's no concept of shogeg as it relates to tumah. Ain no din shiatsa bo suffik avadai. So isn't it for sure going to be that suffik is going to be treated like a vadai? It almost sounds like we're making over here kind of like a kavachomer. Okay, whether this is a pure kavachomer or this is just simply a limud. Okay, that's another discussion. But mi makom shebat. And now, not Shabbos, but maybe Shabbata is the correct way to pronounce it. Now we're on the top of Chav Chesam and Beis, and as long as now we're making a connection between Sota and Tuma, and we're learning that by a Sota, you have a Suffolk. What's the conclusion? She's a Surah. You have Tuma, you have a Suffolk. What's the conclusion? Tame, by a Suffolk. But the Gemara says, Masota v'shus ha'yachid, Avsheretz v'shus ha'yachid. But as long as now we have this door, this portal, connecting Sota to Tuma, Sota is only a Surah when it's v'shus ha'yachid. Tuma is only Asur when it's v'shus ha'yachid. And here we have, right, the classic halacha that Safik Tumah B'Rishos HaYachid is going to be Tameh, but this is the Gemara, Sota Chavches. So, Avsheretz B'Rishos HaYachid, Umas, Sota Davashesh Bo Das Lishal, Avsheretz Davashesh Bo Das Lishal. So, one other point that's generated from this portal, and that is that when it comes to a Sota, so who's involved in the Safik? Somebody with Das, somebody with, right, mind and intellect. Obviously not making good decisions in life, but in other words, but somebody who has a mind and an intellect. So, in the world of Tumah, the same parameters, meaning that a Suffolk Tumah, we're going to be Machmir, but only if that involves somebody with Das. So who are we excluding? So they continue. Omikan amru davishesh bo dasli shal bereshos hayachid sveko tame bereshos harabim sveko tar v'shein bo dasli shal bein bereshos hayachid bein bereshos harabim sveko tar. If the involvement of the suffik tuma is not include somebody with das like a cherish, like a katan, so then we're going to be meko and we're going to say sveko tahar. Not Sveko Tam. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here, and tomorrow we pick it up. Okay, let's just quickly to review. We saw together today the big Mishnah in the beginning of the fifth parak of the Masechta. The Mishnah describes the Bobayom discussions on Rav Elazar ben Azariah's appointment to become the Nasi of the Jewish people. So many discussions that were taking place. Halachic discussions, Hashkafic discussions. The first two discussions dealt with the Sota. That's why the Mishnah introduces it over here in the Masechta Sota. In terms of the mind being Bodek, it's Bodek Osa the Oso. The Oso is talking about the Boel. The Gemara has a machlokis in terms of how we arrive at that conclusion, but everyone is in agreement that we arrive at that conclusion. It's just a question of how to darshan the Pesukim. And finally, at the end of Chav Ches Amad Aleph, towards the top of Chav Ches Amad Beis, some basic halachas, which the truth of the matter is we knew since the beginning of the Masechta. Rashi, one of the first Rashis in the Masechta, brought down the three Isurim that's a result of her becoming a Sota. One Isur is for the Baal, the other Isur is for the Bone, and the third Isur is for the Truma. And then we're an introduction to the concept of Safek Tuma Berishus Hayachid. Just like Sota, we have a Safek Tuma meaning Safek Znus that occurred, so too by, and the Torah uses the word Tuma as it relates to the Sota, so that gives us a very basic halacha that in the world of Tuma, same thing is true. Safik Tuma Bershus Yachid, Sveiko is going to be Tame, but using the same parameters as a Sota, needing Das, just like a Sota, has to be Rishus Yachid, just like a Sota, so using those parameters, so that gives us the classic halacha of Safik Tuma.